Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, on this most holy morning, when we rejoice that our Lord Jesus passed over from death to life, we are gathered to celebrate the Passover of our Lord. By hearing his word and receiving his sacraments, we share in his victory over death. Let us pray. O God, you are like a refiner's fire, and your spirit enkindles the hearts of your faithful people with the fire of your love. Bless, we implore you, this flame, and those who keep this joyful Easter festival, that burning with desire for life with you, we may be found rightly prepared to share in the feast of light which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. His are time and eternity. His are the glory and dominion now and forever. By his wounds we have healing, both now and forever. Amen. May the light of Christ, who has risen in glory from the dead, scatter all the darkness of our hearts and minds. With gladness, see what today is done. Now, after gloom and sadness, comes forth the glorious sun. It was there where our bed must be laid. Spirit wings its flight. Who shouted when Christ lay in the tomb? But lo, he now is routed. It's his turn to gloom. In glorious victory, he who is strong to save has triumphed o'er the shake, no foe shall ever take the hope which God's own Son in love for me has won. Now I will cling forever to Christ my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never, whatever he passes through. He rends death's iron chain, he breaks through sin and pain, he shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through all. A reading from Exodus chapters 14 and 15. After the Passover and the death of every firstborn Egyptian male, Pharaoh let God's people go from Egypt. Then he changed his mind, and the Egyptians pursued the fleeing Israelites. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and of cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them and against the Egyptians." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you."
As for the saints in the land, I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol,
or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Risen on high. Alleluia. Now he lives no more to die. Alleluia.
reading from St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is from the Easter Gradual. This simple line from the Easter Angel, as it is also recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel reading today, "He has risen from the dead." This is our text. In the name of our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear friends, here we are this morning, shortly after dawn, to join those first visitors to the tomb, to Easter's tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Saints Mark and Luke tell us that women came with spices to finish the burial preparation. Now that sounds like funeral activity. Why join them on a mission like that? But here we are here this morning to attend a funeral, and a happy one at that. Funerals are not usually happy occasions. What's different today? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hear the Easter angel address those first people at the tomb and to us. He, Christ, has risen from the dead. So whose funeral are we really at this morning? Well, today, death died. A happy funeral indeed. But is death really dead? The word death calls to mind things like caskets, graves, funerals. That's death, all right, and it's very real. And it's still in the near or distant future for every one of us who are here today. But before we get there, we have to deal with another, a present death, one that people aren't often very aware of, but is just as real as caskets, graves, and cemeteries. St. Paul defines it for us when he says, "You were dead in trespasses and sins." Now the good news is that you and I as Christians have risen from the death of sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, that death still wants to threaten us. Consider your everyday struggle with sin. Thoughts, desires, words, actions, words unsaid that need saying, deeds undone that need doing. And the hard fact behind all of that is this, and we confess it almost every Sunday, I am by nature sinful and unclean. And if that spiritual sin of ours is at work, and it is in collaboration with the devil and the world, that's like one who has risen from the dead only to die again. And that, of course, is a possibility for all of us as Christians. If that happens, then what? Then find yourself on a death march. From sin death to physical death to hell's eternal death. It's all there in this hard fact from St. Paul. The wages of sin is death. But where are we this morning? We're at sin's funeral. And we're not sad. And why not? Because we know the risen Christ. And that means that we don't have to fall back into death, death, and more death. We can make a U-turn on that death march. It's called repentance. And that's not just saying, I'm sorry, although it is that, and that comes from the heart. It's also turning to life, because we've heard that Easter angel, he, Christ, has risen from the dead. And that means, as our psalm for today said, we're on the path of life. We're on the march of life with Jesus, where sins are forgiven and for sin's power is broken. So feast your heart and mind on the good news. Jesus died and rose again to get you out of sin and all its guilt and consequences, out of its companions, death and hell. And to do that, he marched right into the jaws of death and offered his life on the cross for you, for me, for our sins, and then marched right out again to never-ending life for us. For us. Indeed. We share in his victory, and we're on a march of life with him. Now let's think about another happy funeral for a moment. Yours. When did you die? In your baptism. St. Paul says it a fact, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death. But then what happened? We rose again, and Jesus goes right on to complain it as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And so now what? Now you're wearing Christ through your baptism, and all that he has is yours. What a resurrection from the dead. But there's more, for you see, God keeps nourishing and strengthening that baptismal life with Jesus. So every time you pray, forgive us our trespasses, your sins die. And every time you hear the absolution, your sins die. And every time you come to the Lord's Supper, your sins die. This is my body and my blood, he said, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do you see how God is constantly at work keeping you alive and keeping you on that march of life with him? But is death really dead? We know the devil world and flesh don't give up easily. And so that march of life becomes a march into battle. And we know the battle lines very well, don't we? Temptations of every kind. Pressures from other people towards sin. Worry, fear, doubt. Every situation in life used by those enemies, twisted by those enemies, to try to bring us down and draw us away from Christ. The battles rage, but no matter what, we are on a march of life with that living Christ. So keep ever uppermost in your heart and mind the word of the angel. He has risen from the dead. And know that because he did, your sins are dead and buried in the forgiveness of God. And you get strength from him to put to death that old you that is drawn to the death march. And that the new you will arise with him, to keep on that path of life with him, where we day by day bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, which are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. But is death really dead? The crunch comes with my physical dying and yours. We have to face it, and St. Paul said it. Death is still an enemy. And there's still the funeral, the grave, and the cemetery. And we know all too well the grief, the sorrow, the crying, the pain, the loneliness when a loved one dies. But we don't stop there. Remember, we've heard the Easter angel. And so what do we do at the cemetery? We take these great facts from God and, as it were, cast them into the grave of every Christian. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. When this mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's look beyond the cemetery. We as Christians know that our dying is to be with the Lord. To be with the Lord. St. Paul wrote that not even death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he also wrote this, I have a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. St. Paul also wrote that once he was caught up to the third heaven, he called it paradise, and he saw things that he just couldn't put into words. And so in the face of the casket, the grave, and the cemetery, you and I are still on a march of life with Jesus. It doesn't stop. What did Jesus say? He who believes in the Son has eternal life. And eternal life does not take a hiatus for a casket, a grave, or the cemetery. It goes right on to heaven. And then to the ultimate climax of the resurrection. And then it gets even better. For we rise with a new, fresh, glorified body like unto that of our Lord Jesus, alive and risen. And to quote Psalm 16 again, we are on the path of life and the destination of fullness of joy forevermore. So what does it mean to attend Easter's happy funeral? It means to see death in all its dimensions, in all its forms, under the heel of our risen, living Savior. It means to be on a march of life with Him. It means, therefore, to walk every day in the forgiveness of sins, to walk in newness of life, because every day that old self dies and that new self in the living Christ rises. And all the while, we're on that path to our destination, heaven and the resurrection. Now hear the words of the Easter angel one more time. He has risen. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We stand for the baptismal remembrance. The Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on the dry ground, foreshadowing the washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold us according to your boundless mercy and bless us with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in us which has been inherited from Adam and which we have committed since would be drowned and die. Grant that we be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, we would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes,
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sin, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen.
In
We stand for the Litany of the Resurrection.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
hear us.
Paschal Lamb, who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Who was crucified for our transgressions and raised for our justification,
have mercy on us.
Who foretold your passion, saying the Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day rise again, who destroyed death by dying and by rising to life again brought life and immortality to light.
Have mercy on us.
Whose resurrection was first announced by an angel to the women.
Have mercy on us.
Who appeared to Mary Magdalene and was worshipped by her.
Have mercy on us.
Who revealed yourself to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road and made yourself known to them in the scriptures and in the breaking of the bread. Who appeared to the disciples, bestowing on them your peace and your spirit.
Have mercy on us.
Who showed your wounded hands and side to the apostle Thomas that he too might believe.
Have mercy on us.
Who appeared to seven disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, bringing a miraculous catch of fish.
Have mercy on us.
Who appeared to Peter and the 12, to over 500 disciples, to James and to all the apostles, and to Paul on the Damascus Road.
Have mercy on us.
Who commissioned your church to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them.
Have mercy on us.
By your glorious resurrection from the dead.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By your victory over sin and death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the majesty of your risen body. We poor sinners implore you,
hear us, Lord Jesus,
that we may daily die and rise with you in our baptism and walk in the freedom of your forgiveness.
Grant us, good Lord,
that we may set our minds on things above and not on earthly things, serving as we have been served by you.
Grant us, good Lord,
that we may dwell with you forever in the new creation as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem together with all the saints. Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Have mercy.
O Lord, have mercy. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we, as your baptized people, may live before you in righteousness and purity forever through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
During the hymn, I invite you to bring your flowers, come forward and place the flowers into the resurrection cross in celebration of Jesus' defeat of death.